Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Lloyd-Kim, thank you very much for joining us. You're a friend of Trinity Church and have been for a long time, and we appreciate you and the role you fill now as coordinator, Mission of the World. Sorry, we were on with Irwin Ince last week. And
wonderful.
But great to hear from you, and it's been trying times for missionaries scattered around the world and some in very isolated places. We'd, you know, certainly like to have you talk about that. But maybe let me start with just asking about your family and how they're doing. And you have at least one off to college, maybe out of college by now. I've lost track.
Yeah, I have three children. My oldest, Kaylin, is at Georgia Tech. And my son, Christian, is also at Georgia Tech. So I have two out at the house, and they're both in the city, so not too far from us, and we're very happy that they're close by. I have one another who's at home, and she's a junior in high school. So girl, boy, girl, they're doing fine. No one's gotten COVID yet. They seem to be healthy, and yeah, they're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, and you mentioned Christian. I was going to ask about him. It seemed like he was part of the final decision making when you left Cambodia. Has he looked back and wished it was better, or is he adjusted to life in the States by now? I'm sure.
He's definitely adjusted, and we're grateful for all the prayers and support through that time of transition. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, and your wife. Ida, I always say it wrong. Ida, I guess it is, or Edda.
That's right. Ida. Yeah. Ida is correct.
How's she?
Like she's doing well. Yeah, so she practices part-time still and helps out at our clinic, serving our staff and missionaries. And she also has done a little bit of telemedicine. Not sure if that's as popular down there as it is up here, but... Yes, so she gets online and sees patients through video conferencing.
That's happening here too. So, tell us, okay, on to Mission of the World, and we continue to pray for your family too. But give us kind of the big picture for Mission of the World, and then I know we've got some things to ask about.
Yeah, certainly. I think the story for us these past couple of years now has been just God's faithfulness to us and really going before us in the midst of some really challenging things. And maybe I'll just point out three. Obviously, the pandemic is the big disruptor in missions these days. But before the pandemic started, we had a strong desire to equip our MTW community in intercessory prayer. We actually had two missionaries whose ministry was to help train, equip, and practice intercessory prayer for us. We recognize that all that we do, it's a spiritual work. And so unless we are engaging in this work with the means that God has given us, through the word and through prayer, really our efforts will be in vain. And so, before the pandemic started, they, were helping us, to grow in our understanding of prayer. This is Ken and Tammy Matlack, former missionaries in Berlin, longtime, MTW missionaries, served as the ID in Europe. So, actually in 2020, we had asked, them to lead us to start off the year in prayer. And they said, well, why are we just doing it once? Let's do it every month. And first Friday of the month, we will pray. And if those wanting to fast, prayer and fasting, first Friday fast. And so January, we prayed. February, we prayed. And what were we praying for? We were praying for unity in our MTW community. We were praying for kingdom advance, more workers to be sent out to the field, and we are praying that God would draw us closer to himself. And then the pandemic hit in March 2020 and all our missionaries weren't able to travel. And we were in a state of desperation. And this is really what Ken and Tammy were showing us in the word. They were saying, you know, when people fast, it's usually in times of desperation. It's in times of lament or times of really beseeching God for his protection, his favor, his, and so that's what God orchestrated. So he kind of prepared us for this. And then we recognized, even if we can't travel and we can't move as freely, some of our missionaries were locked in their houses for weeks on end, we could pray. And we can intercede. And so this was a real wonderful answer, real answer to prayer that God would bring us together, and he has, and he would raise up more missionaries. And I'll talk about that next, and that he would draw us closer to himself. And he's done all those things. So the next thing is, you know, you would think in a pandemic, it would greatly hinder our mission, particularly in the 1% prayer that we've had in God raising up more missionaries to go overseas. And we've been praying all through 2020 for God to raise up missionaries. We know there's no barrier that he has. And so what happened was, during a pandemic, during when we had to stop all in-person events and meetings where we would normally receive missionaries, all those things switched to virtual events. And we had the third largest class that we have ever had in the past 9 years of new missionaries. And when we talked to our candidates director, he was explaining to us, he says, this isn't like it was in 2008 when there was a recession and people were just looking for a job. He said, it's different now because people have jobs, but they're asking the question, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? They're saying, no, I want to pursue what God has put in my heart. And I maybe just kind of set it aside or was too busy to think about it. And so we've had the third largest class of missionaries in the past night in 2020, the year of, and this year, we're on track to having just as many, if not more. And so God has certainly answered our prayers, and he is raising up, the 1% that we've been praying for, and helping us to move forward in this great kingdom. So we delight. Rejoice. The final thing that I'd say that maybe captures where we're at as a mission, one of the prayer requests is our missionaries are exhausted, and yet the pandemic in many places that we serve has opened up opportunities for mercy ministry. Our missionaries are holed up in their house. For several weeks early on, hold up in their houses, people would knock on their door and say, we have no food. So many of them live in contexts where people, what they work for that day is what they use to buy the food for that day. They're, you know, hand to mouth kind of, living. And so, our missionaries would just give whatever they had. And, but soon more people knocked on the door because the word got out. This happened in Honduras with one of our missionaries. And soon she had more people asking than she had food in her house. So she just asked people if they would be willing to give. And she, went on Facebook and, money started pouring in. And so she started really helping her neighbors, during this time. And that story is repeated again and again. There are more opportunities to demonstrate the love of Christ and the gospel. And of course, as she's doing it, she's sharing with them. They know who she is as a believer. And this story is repeated over and over again, where we're able to not only proclaim the gospel, but demonstrate it through these acts of mercy and kindness during a season where it is greatly needed. Wow. So that in a nutshell is sort of what we're dealing with now. We're grateful for certain places easing in their travel restrictions. So our missionaries who are on HMA can go back, and those who are waiting to go on HMA can come, but we're still in the midst of it and things change constantly. So, we'd continue to ask for wisdom, and faith and humility as we serve in this challenging time.
I would guess that you probably have some of those new missionaries who are still waiting for clearance to go into the countries that, to which they've been called, still just closed due to COVID, not necessarily closed countries, but.
That's right. One story, a missionary couple was tracking to go to Australia. And if you followed a little bit about what's happening there, they've been very strict in letting anybody come in. So they weren't able to get a visa. And so they temporarily switched their field to the UK. So now they're in the UK serving our national partners and people in the UK, really just waiting for Australia to open up so they can join the team there. So many missionaries have had to change, pivot, wait, and it can be very frustrating. So yes.
Yeah. And I didn't introduce my friends here, Paul Miles across the table from me and Bubba Phillips next to me, Carolyn's father, of course.
Oh, wonderful.
And so we've been a part of some of the prayer that Carolyn and Brad,
Cordell,
in Birmingham been doing. We've been zooming in with them from time to time. And the group they've had, you know, to bring young folks in to sense a call for mission. So it's been a privilege to be a part of that, but I assume, you know, some of that maybe originated with what you're describing at the beginning of last year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In the prayer request that came to us, there were a lot of new fields that you were hoping to see opened up. And, are you seeing people drawn to those in particular, or how does that beginning to take shape?
Yeah, just a little bit of background to those field goals. As we started asking the church to pray for 1%, we also began asking our fields, what would you do if God sent a lot more laborers to your field? And many of them, for the first time or in a long time, said, huh, we've been so busy doing our work, we never even thought about what we would do if a lot more people came. So they started to dream and they started a plan and they said, well, we've always wanted to, you know, start a new team in this city. We've always wanted to start a new work on this campus. We've always wanted to branch off to this, but you know, we just haven't had the time to think about it. And so we said, well, start thinking about it. And so they started planning and strategizing, and each team, each region did this. And then we just added them all up. And what we came up with were those numbers on that, prayer request, 63 new countries, 192 new cities, 29 new campus ministries, 486 new church plants, 38 new unreached people groups, and 212 new church planting support ministries, all by 2030, roughly 9 years from now. And, what they said is if we're going to do this, we need this many new long-term missionaries, this many new short-term missionaries, this many new interns. And so, it's great for people like Carolyn and like Bradley and like others who are trying to recruit to say, we don't want you just to go to some, you know, unknown place, but here are the places where we really want to see new things happen. And, this is what we need. And, you know, this is where and who. And so all those things have been laid out in a way that makes it a lot easier as well as clearer in terms of helping people to find a call. This is what we've been praying for.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Carolyn and Bradley are part of what's been in process for a while in terms of regional offices. And I see that's kind of taken pretty good shape, I guess. I don't, you have all of those in place, or there's still more to come with that?
We do have all those in place now by God's grace. And so as we started praying for 1%, we realized we didn't have the infrastructure to serve what we've been praying for. And so that's when we decided, well, we need to start decentralizing and have these mobilization hubs in these different parts. And so apart from the Atlanta area, we have four others: West Coast, Midwest, the Southwest, and the Northeast. And these hubs are working with churches, just like Carolyn and Bradley are working with churches in the Birmingham area. We recognize Alabama is a huge opportunity to mobilize. And so Carolyn and others have formed a team to do that. We have a Southeast Mobilization Director who's in the Virginia area. His name is Leonard Liu, but he serves a dispersed team. So they don't all live and work in the same area, but they're scattered around to really be local and to connect with churches and schools and seminaries.
And that's kind of dovetailed well, or maybe COVID has dovetailed into that whole dispersion plan anyway. I guess we've grown way more comfortable doing Zoom calls and so on and so forth. So the idea, you don't have everybody there in Lawrenceville, scattered across the countryside, that would seem to be working in your favor with the original plan anyway, to kind of disperse.
Yes. And that's another way that we've seen God go before us. All this was in the works before COVID happened. And not only did it prepare us to be able to work remotely, but it also enabled us to connect locally when travel restrictions were in place and we couldn't even travel from one state to another. The hub leaders were able to travel and, locally were able to connect. And so that's been a huge blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you were in Southeast Asia before coming to be the coordinator for MTW. How are the churches or the what's the picture there? What sort of updates can you give us on those locally?
Yeah, it's mixed and it changes over time. So Cambodia early on was not as affected by COVID, but they were also very draconian in their response to it. So any visitor who came on a plane, if there was anybody on the plane who had tested positive for COVID, the whole plane would be quarantined. They would be quarantined for 2 weeks. They would make you pay for the hotel for 2 weeks, and they would demand a certain amount of money for health insurance. I mean, so it was really draconian. And then now that COVID is kind of, Delta has kind of hit Cambodia again, the lockdowns, people coming out of their house, police would hound them. And, that might not be as bad if you think about middle class or upper class people who have refrigerators and who have, the ability to store food. But for the folks who have to shop every day because they don't have a refrigerator, you have to go out, you know, what's worse, not eating or the fear of COVID. And so, those are the realities that people are experiencing in Southeast Asia, certainly in Cambodia. And then I think now we're seeing more cases in places like Vietnam, and other places. And like it is all over the world, the poor get it the worst. And, it can be really heartbreaking. Our missionaries feel a lot of guilt and, just feel a big burden.
We still communicate with B, who is way out in the remote regions of Cambodia. And so, I mean, it's obvious there are precautions there, but they seem to be, moving up they're just rural villages and very rural. And, but they seem to be moving about, maybe not quite as restrictive as it would be in Phnom Penh.
Yes.
Yeah. How about Vietnam? There were some church plants there, or at least one. Are they continuing?
They are. It's exciting to see what God is doing in Vietnam in terms of the growth of the ministry. And, I think Vietnam is in the city now is experiencing more COVID, and, that has an effect on the work, but, I think the opportunities to minister to, they have a children's home there, to those who are in that situation are multiplying. So the work continues in Vietnam as well. We're very grateful for the partnership.
Yeah. Other questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, go ahead, Bob.
Do you have any interaction with RUF International on a follow-up on those people as they go back around to their home country?
That is a wonderful question, and really appreciate it. We have really strengthened our relationship with RUF over the years. We have probably about 5 or 6 couples scattered all across the globe who are both RUFG global, as well as MTW missionaries. And we're increasing in our relationship, not only with RUF global, but also with RUFI, and that is international on U.S. campus, international ministry to those on U.S. campuses through RUF. And we've had retired missionaries serve with those RUFI teams. And it also provides an opportunity, and we're recruiting to this for people who might not yet be ready to move overseas, but they want to be involved in cross-cultural ministry, to get them connected with an RUFI campus ministry as part of their discipleship and training before they're launched off overseas. And so RUF is now really committed to their global cross-cultural ministry. They have recruiters. We're partnering together. I mentioned in our field goals, 29 new campus ministries. Well, that's RUF's goal as well. So we're working together to try and get these 29 new campus ministries filled with RUFG missionaries. And the most recent thing is, you know, as we've moved to a more hybrid work environment in Atlanta, RUF has as well. And so it's created an opportunity for us to actually share office space. So starting in December, RUF will be sharing office space with MTW at 1600 North Brown. Before, they were in 1700 North Brown. And, you know, the coordinator, Will Huss, actually lives in South Carolina, but he has staff coming in and out. And so we said, well, if you ever need office, please come. And we have a hybrid system now, so people can kind of check in and reserve a space in our office. And so we're just really excited about the partnership we have with RUF, and have been able to really connect both here and there with campus ministries.
Great.
I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Do you have a program where you try to integrate retired people into the international ministry, MTW, those that might come out of the workforce, and train them to go?
Yeah, we actually had a very specific track for second career missionaries. But we realized that the systems and processes that we already have serve them just as well as creating a special track. By allowing many of the retirees don't require to raise as much support. So we have mechanisms in our system already that would enable them to go without having to raise as much support and things like that. So while we don't have a specific track anymore, we welcome what others have endearingly called our Calebs, who, you know, past the age of fighting, go take the mountain. And, and they do so. We have a second career. He was a pastor for many years, but, is serving in Scotland, and he is saying there is so much now that we can still do, in our retirement years for the kingdom. And so he's trying to get a lot of folks to come out and serve together with him or other places. And so we have to experience that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let us pray, Lloyd, for you and MTW. Any other updates that you would like to give us before we go to prayer?
No, those were the highlights. And just pray, please, for the Holy Spirit to equip us in this good work.
Yeah. Go ahead. Lovell, would you start us, please?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord, and just to hear about his family and his ministry and what's going on over there, and what is heart and desire to reach the world for Christ, and encourage him with all these many programs, his responsibility he has overseeing this activity. But it's so encouraging to hear the particular things that are going on, and the plans for expansion, and the need that's out there, and the work with the RUF. Lord, it's such a blessing to hear that. So, but as we go forward, they give him wisdom, but they give us wisdom here at our church of how we can raise up more people to go to the field. I'm thinking of one now that we have that's in seminary that's probably going to tie in with RUF, and another one that's going to RUF that we can start raising our people from children and with a heart and passion for missions. And when they get to the college age and make a decision, Lord, that they would go into the full-time mission work. It can be done here or around the world. So we thank you for Lord's heart and passion to take this responsibility, which is a huge responsibility, to lead up this group within our denomination and to keep them focused on the world. And Lord, it is so important for all of us to be in prayer. That I thank you for what they're doing there. That it needs to be a part of everything we do. And it's just so obvious, but I don't do it, and we don't do it. That we would be an intercessory prayer, just worshiping you, praising you, and then lifting up our request and staying in touch with you. So, Lord, we are so blessed. We are so blessed in this church and our denomination. Have people like Lord that have a heart for this. So be with him now. Be with the whole team up there. Be with the many missionaries scattered out around the world, Lord, that you would use them in a mighty way to spread your gospel. And I pray all this in Christ's name.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we lift up Lloyd and his family. Give thanks for the work to get through the pandemic. I particularly pray for their partnership with RUF International and the follow-up to all the people that, students that go back to their home country and have an opportunity to spread the gospel. Pray that you'll give them health, give them perseverance, and that you will bless this ministry and give thanks for all that they do in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Lloyd and for his family and the work, the way that you use them to serve others. We pray that you would just continue to bless them and the work that he's doing, and he and his wife, and that you would just bless their children and just help them as they enter their new phases of life in college and in high school, and just all the challenges that go with that. We pray that, and thank you for just all the ways that you're working with mission to the world, and ways that you've worked in them to look outside the box and to look outside our own limitations and to see that you're the God of all possibility, and that you're opening their eyes to looking bigger and trusting in you more and leaning into you more. And we just pray that would continue, and that you would develop relationships like you have with other missions, and just finding ways to grow your kingdom. And we just pray that you would continue to help MTW to find additional missionaries to go out into the field, and that you would just give people the call and that they would answer that call. And we just thank you for this time this morning that we could hear the work that you're doing. And we pray that others in the church would listen to this and the other calls that we have on Tuesdays, and would have a desire to be more involved in missions, whether it's at home or going into the field and or supporting missionaries, and just that we would all work for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Gracious Father, I thank you as well for the privilege to talk with Lloyd this morning, and for his leadership at MTW, and for the many that stand with him there in the permanent committee and the staff working now dispersed in many ways across the country, and yet supporting those out in the field who some have been very isolated, some been very busy and challenged in other ways. And yet we pray that the gospel would continue to go forth through this time. Thank you for Lord. I pray that you would give him endurance and grace and wisdom as he fills the role to which you've called him there. And I pray that we're grateful for this outpouring of new missionaries responding to the call, even in the last year or two. And I pray that that would continue. And I pray that you would raise people up from this church as well to serve, and that we would be committed to serving them well as they go out. And help but pray for our children, that they would begin to understand what it is to respond to the Great Commission, and that they would begin to feel the call. We know many, many missionaries have felt that call as children, and that you would continue to guide us as we seek to be faithful stewards of the blessings that you've given us, the financial resources, the human resources in the abundance. So we pray, Father, that your work would continue, that we thankful for the technology we have and how that's now even advanced the work that we're seeking to do on behalf of your kingdom. And we pray that you would be glorified through all of this. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.